The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Show. I shouldn't tell you this, but Eric hired someone who sounds just like him to host today's show. But since I'm the announcer, they told me. So I am telling you, don't be fooled.
The real Eric's in jail.
And welcome.
Hey, folks. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show on this debate disaster Wednesday. Eric Metaxas, where is he today? Well, he's actually on a flight right now coming back from Greece. He will be back tomorrow. And of course, he's fired up. He's got some things to say about last night's debate and also about the big project that he's working on. He just worked on it for the last 10 days over there in Greeceland. He's going to talk about that. Coming up in just about 5 minutes or so, we've got John Zmirak. All right. Oh, my goodness. He's got a great article at thestream.org. Stream.org. You can check it out right now. And he's going to talk about that and some other things. Of course, his thoughts on last night's debate. And also in hour two, we've got Matt Sharp. Who's Matt Sharp? He's one of the senior counsel members of Alliance Defending Freedom. Now, folks, all this month, we are raising money for Alliance Defending Freedom. Who are those guys? They're the guys that, have gone out on the front line for the baker that wouldn't bake the cake for the gay wedding, for the flower maker that wouldn't arrange the flowers for the gay wedding, for the boys running as girls in the races, in girls' tournaments and all that. So they're the ones that are on the front line. And of course, all this month we've checked them out. They're great. We love them for the show. We're raising money for them. As simple as that. And if you go to the banner at the top of the Metaxas Talk website, MetaxasTalk.com, you can see where you can donate $100 minimum. You'll get a subscription to Metaxas Super, of course, but any amount at all that you donate, you'll be entered into our grand prize drawing. And again, let me just give you real quick, and we'll talk about this throughout the show, but there's a phone number, 855-547-5333, 855-547-5333, or the banner at the top of the page for Alliance Defending Freedom. They've had 11 victories since 2011 at the Supreme Court level, all right? And they've got a winning record of 80%. So that is something that you could do right now, even while you're listening or watching on YouTube. And I want to throw over to Chris Himes, who looks like he's in the clouds over in San Francisco. Chris, where are you?
Yeah, that's one of the silver linings of Zoom right now is that you don't have to clean your room. You can just put a little background up that's tidy. So I'm actually in my house. But yeah, it looks like the Golden Gate Bridge right now.
Yeah. Well, you look absolutely terrific over there. Oh, by the way, since you're at the other end of the country, that reminds me of SalemNow.com, which is our new movie channel at Salem. SalemNow.com. If you go there, there's a great movie playing right now called One Nation Under God. And it's about a student who, he's like, why can't we talk about God in the classrooms? And he brings that up to a presidential candidate who happens to be visiting his particular high school. And of course, the candidate responds and it becomes a big national debate about One Nation Under God. Are we really a nation under God? And can we talk about God in the public space? But you go to SalemNow.com, go to One Nation Under God, and you'll see that movie and a plenty of others, like Uncle Tom is an incredible, incredible movie. You got to see that there and a bunch of other really good movies. SalemNow.com, and use the code ERIC and get 20% off across the board on anything you want to watch there. ERIC, 20% off, SalemNow.com. Back to you again, Chris.
Yeah, I was just going to say the Uncle Tom documentary by Larry Elder is definitely a must-see. It's really incredible. I watched it probably a month ago with my wife, and I was just really blown away. It's really well done. And I hope he makes more. I think the Under God movie is that's the one that Kevin Sorbo's in, right? Friend of the show, Kevin Sorbo.
I don't think Kevin Sorbo's in it, although he's supposed to be in every movie that's Christian or Christian-esque. But
I know it's hard to keep them all straight. I might be confusing it with another one. I think he might be in it, but you know, that's a good reason to watch it and find out if he shows up or not.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's kind of like where's Waldo? You know, where's Kevin? You know, where's Sorbo? Right. Where's Sorbo? I guess it would be.
I was going to say Eric is on a plane right now. It's kind of like those, you know, the old Indiana Jones movies where you see the map and the plane with a little line, you know, sort of tracking him over the ocean. Yes. I always like it when they do that in movies. So right now he's probably over the Atlantic.
He's probably right there. There's like you can pinpoint him. Literally and figuratively, right over the Atlantic. And you know what? He was in Greece when the debates were going on. So yeah. We're not sure how much he caught of the debates, but you know that he can watch the rerun if he wants to. And of course, he will comment on that and bring stories from Greece and talk about his new project in conjunction with Morgan Freeman's film company. And it's a documentary about Homer and the Iliad and the Odyssey. And it's really incredibly fascinating, incredibly fascinating. But and last night's debate, not so fascinating, I don't think. John Zmirak's going to bring the heat here in about 4 or 5 minutes. But Chris, what did you think about last
night? Yeah, I mean, I was watching it. I think like everybody else, it felt like, you know, it reminded me of, and I think we've all been there as humans, you know, you go to a dinner and maybe something awkward happens, a little cringy. And for me, I have a Cuban grandmother, and she remarried after she came to the United States, and she married an old army guy. And he would always just sort of say what was on his mind. I remember one time we were eating dinner and he was having a bad day, and he just started ranting, and it made everyone very uncomfortable. And that's what the debate reminded me of, was that dinner with my second grandfather.
Yeah, I'll tell you, after about 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 minutes, I was like, I got to turn this off. And then I said, no, I got to watch it because of the show. And I know John's going to talk about it, and we got to discuss it with him. And I know Eric's going to talk about it, and we got to discuss it with him. But there was one moment, and I know that John actually covers this in his article at stream.org called After the First Presidential Debate. You'll have to go there and check it out. But where I thought that Biden pitched President Trump a big, huge softball, because early in the debate, he said, I am the Democratic Party. And then Trump said to him, well, you know, how come there are, you know, fires and looting and burning and terrorists in the street in all these democratically run cities? Why couldn't you do something to help? And he said, well, I'm not an elected official. But that's where Trump should have said, well, if you can't make a phone call because you're the Democratic Party and stop this nonsense, then how can you run the entire country? You could easily call up and say, stop it. And they would stop it if you had that power as the representative of the party. But no, I'm not an elected official yet.
Yeah, okay, I thought there were definitely some missed opportunities. I think, you know, in the totality of probably, I guess we have two more debates. I think the first one will, you know, certainly be on one side. I suspect the next one, Trump might come off a little more measured, which won't be hard to do. But yeah, so we'll see what happens. I think this is the thing that I've noticed since even, you know, the primaries in 2016, Trump's opponents will come out and say, aha, this, you know, he's done for, whatever. It's like they don't remember any of the lessons of history. It's like they are, you know, Rob Reiner tweeted, we just won the election. Well, it's a long ways off still. I know it's, you know, there's a lot that can happen. So,
And I'll tell you, the vice presidential debate, that's 1 week from tonight, Wednesday, 1 week from now, that will definitely be a little more measured, because Mike Pence is, and they are, of course, those two candidates are at the opposite end of the scale. So that will be a very, very interesting debate. And I think some substance will come out of that. Speaking of, We are wrapping up this introduction, and John Smirak, right after this commercial break, we're going to have the big man himself, the situation, John Smirak. So please stay tuned, and then Matt Sharp from ADF opens hour two, and then more of the show. Thank you, folks. Hey, folks, welcome back to The Eric Metaxas Show. And The Eric Metaxas is actually on a plane flying back from Greece right now. He's going to have some fun stories for us tomorrow, so you better tune in. Now, we did promise Chris and I that we would have John Smirak, but this is very serious, and I'm not joking about this. He actually had a beagle emergency, I think it's called. And I shouldn't really joke about it, but he had to actually get the dogs to the hospital. So we're sorry about that. We will try to get him on later this week. But we have I don't know how to say this, but a replacement that will blow your mind. And for that introduction, I am going to throw it over to Chris Himes. Chris?
Yeah, thanks, Alvin. We got a last-minute fill-in who is more than up to the task. And actually, we're really excited he agreed to kind of fill in last minute. We have Salem's own Kevin McCullough, who we have affectionately dubbed as Vote Stradamus. That's a name that I came up with after his first appearance, where he displayed such prognostication prowess of the political persuasion that was the only
got
name.
Lucky. That's what he did. He got lucky.
Well, you're very good, Kevin. So, Kevin, thanks for joining.
Hey, guys. It's good to be with you. Glad to know that I'm an amenable substitute for John Smirak. And I guess I'll just have to live with that now as well.
Yeah, you came in second, man.
I'm barely above the acceptability threshold. This is great. Appreciate it.
Okay. So you said that you were actually hosting the debate, so to speak.
Yeah, so last night, in fact, I think I'm still wearing the same clothes I had on television last night. But
shame on
it's
you.
It's a good look.
Biz TV, the walk of shame this morning. Biz TV is the syndicator for my weekend Radio Night Live television show, and we dipped our toe into the debate coverage waters for the first time. So it was 4 hours, 1 hour pregame, then the whole debate, and then an hour and a half after. And I think I got in somewhere around 3 a.m. yesterday, this morning, whatever time it is. So anyway, glad to be back with you.
Oh, you know what? I grew a goatee just in your honor. So there you go.
Okay. Well, one of the fun things that happened to us last night is we had someone that was we had this panel that was kind of like the five, and there was one panelist who was very excited about some of the guests we were going to have. A lot of them appear on my show regularly. And the opening question that she was dying to get across to one of the panelists was she was so glad to finally meet her. and my guest just kind of looked at her like, okay, yeah, sure, okay. So we didn't let that panelist do any returns from break after that. That was kind of like the end of her hosting career at that moment in time.
And then she's going to find that out today on this show.
Possibly. Though I'm not sure she would be a huge Metaxas a file, so I think we're safe on that front.
I was going to say they call that going full fangirl or fanboy mode is when that happens.
Yeah, no, they totally did, and I was like, okay, how do we get this back to the debate? What are we actually going to discuss about the debate? Speaking of things that just went super well last night.
Oh my goodness.
I was telling Alvin earlier, it kind of reminded, there was in the 2000s or maybe it was 2010, there was a underground VHS video you could buy. You know, the commercials would come on late at night, and they were called bum fights. They were probably illegal. I think the guy went to jail for making them, and they were pretty deplorable. But this idea of, he went around and filmed some old homeless men fighting each other, and there would always be a winner and a loser, and it had a little bit of that vibe.
Well, there were a couple of losers last night, I would have to say, but Kevin, what do you to say?
Well, what do you want to know? Thoughts overall, strengths, weaknesses. Where are we going with this?
Can you just start with an overall? And
so here's how I think it played out last night, because I think that there was definitely a strategy you could tell from the two camps as the thing got underway, and then you could tell where the stamina factor started to favor Trump, and then you could tell where the whole nation fell asleep. And I'll pinpoint each of those, but I would say the first 20 to 25 minutes was the real boxing match. And it was who's going to wrestle control of the conversation and of the narrative to some degree. And I know that the feedback immediately on Twitter and social media to some degree was, you know, Trump's being too aggressive. He's being too hostile, et cetera. I actually think that first 25 minutes was where he won the Telemundo poll that was released this morning. I don't know if you saw it, but the very not necessarily conservative audience of Telemundo said that the president won 67-33% last night. Wow. And it was an overwhelming decisive victory for him in that poll. And I think part of what happened was if you understood body language and you saw what was going on, Trump was not willing to concede any territory from the get-go, and he really was the alpha male that everybody else in the room was responding to. And it was so weird that I had just been listening to Bill Bennett on my drive over to the set. He had appeared on, I think it was Fox News Channel last night. I had the audio going in my car, and he did this really brief, concise thumbnail sketch of strength in the presidency and how people view strong presidents versus weak presidents and what they're looking for. And you could not have had in some ways a more chaotic first 25 minutes of the debate, but Trump clearly said, you're not going to steamroll me. You will let me say what I need to say. And on some level, it turned into a one-on-two that he was at times winning. So you're talking about a pretty strict tone that was set out from the beginning, but it was really a prize fight. It was back and forth. Biden lost his cool, told him to shut up, man, which of course the far left said, oh, this was great. This was awesome. But Trump did some strategic things. Twice during the debate last night, he said, Joe, you just lost the left. And though it was important, not that the majority of voters were going to notice that he said that, but it was what he said it about, and it was what Biden had just admitted to. Now, if Chris Wallace had been the Chris Wallace of 2016, he actually would have called Joe Biden on a bunch of this stuff. But I'm going through this morning and finding place after place where the information was freely available. He should have had some sort of pushback on Biden, particularly on the Green New Deal. I don't support the Green New Deal. His website says that he supports the Green New Deal and that it's actually the critical piece of his not just environmental policy, but his economic recovery plan. Like it's in clear print. Central to the Biden plan is the Green New Deal. Of course, he didn't want to deal with it in person, $4.3 trillion, and he didn't have an answer to that. But I think here's how the scope of the debate went. So you had that first boxing match for 25 minutes. Then you had a section that was actually an extended section in which Trump dominated in a non-confrontational way. He just very much went about business saying, this is what we've done. This is why we deserve to be reelected. Here's all the success we've had on the economy, et cetera. And he hit a number of issues in that long section. He had a little bit more of that kind of back and forth. And then the moment that they said the words climate change, and I wish I had been rolling on my iPhone in the room we were at. So where we were broadcasting last night, we had a live audience with us. In fact, I think we had as many people in our facility as they did in the debate facility, because we had slightly more than 100. And I think there were 100 seats in the debate. But everybody was riveted through that first two sections of the debate. And the moment it was like he couldn't even get the J of the climate change out of his mouth. And everybody in the room went back to eating, ordering drinks, talking to their neighbor. It was like they were so checked out at that point. And they didn't really come back even for the closing statements. It was really remarkable to see how it played to a live audience where I was in the back of the room just watching. But it was that's kind of how I feel like the pace of the debate went. You had this kind of really confrontational opening round. And then you had a big section where Trump did really well, kind of laid the groundwork for why he should be elected. And then they went into this other stuff that some people care about, some people don't. Of course, the media is going to say Joe Biden won, but all he had to do to win was stand upright for 90 minutes and basically not make a terrific gaffe, which he truly didn't. So at the end of the day, competency and being able to not wet himself was basically all he needed to do to win. And that's what he did.
I thought there were a couple times that he almost tripped, but then Trump came in and rescued him in a way by cutting him off when he should have just let him go and he would have tripped. We're going to be right back to the Eric Metaxas Show with Kevin McCullough right after this, folks. And I'm here again, your prison.
Like a coin in your mind. Hi, folks. These uncertain times can cause uncertain gut slowdown. Worry and fear can wreak havoc on our digestion, making it hard to feel optimum. Bloating, less energy, and occasional constipation can slow you down in your daily activity. Try Life Change Tea at getthetea.com. Life Change Tea can help get things moving so you can get that boost of energy you need. Life Change Tea helps protect and defend your health from intruders. It's a weird time right now with all the uncertainty, so gear up and defend your health. Where do you go to purchase? Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. The specials are on the front page, and we have numerous supplements to help combat intruders. It's time to take charge of our health and to feel better in life. It's time to live. Again, getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. GetTheTea.com. It is so worth it. GetTheTea.com.
Folks, I got some embarrassing news to share with you, but you know what? This is just the kind of a show where I don't care. I'm willing to lay my heart, you know, on the line. Here's the issue. Mike Lindell with My Pillow. You may notice that I have a bobblehead of him near me. He's here to remind all of us that when you go to MyPillow.com, you get whopping discounts if you use the code Eric, okay? Now, there are a lot of people who haven't done that, and we have your names here. And Chris Himes and Albin pointed out to me that there's like three pages of you whose first name is Eric. You yourself, I mean, that's humiliating for me that even though your name is Eric, you're still not willing to use the code Eric. I mean, if you don't want to use it because it's my name, use it because it's your name. But the point is that I see who you are, and I just feel humiliated by this. Please go to MyPillow.com. It's okay, Mike. It's going to be okay. Go to MyPillow.com. Use the code Eric. You're going to get whopping savings and really high quality products. Did I mention that? Thank you.
Hey, folks, we're back to the Eric Metaxas Show. Eric is flying around somewhere, but we have Kevin McCullough on deck. Actually, he's right here. What am I saying? And I just want to open with a little Frank Luntz observation from last night. Now, Kevin was talking about he had a room full of people that were watching the debate and reacting, and he was able to see what that reaction was. Kevin McCullough found out from his little core group that he was, you know, studying and asking, well, what do you think? He said most people seem to want to not vote at all after seeing the debate, kind of like both of these guys are like two angry men yelling at each other. I don't want either of them to be president. But that was Frank. We've got Kevin. And Kevin, let's go on with this analysis. This is fascinating from last night.
Well, I think a couple of the things that really came away was that, and I said this in the last segment, Chris Wallace was not the same Chris Wallace of 2016. In 2016, he really had one of the better debate moderator performances, and he got both Clinton and Trump to say some things that were kind of important the rest of the way with the debate. Last night, I don't know if it was just because he felt sorry for Joe and it was obvious that Trump came loaded for bear and would have, I think, mopped the floor with Biden, but he consistently had Wallace consistently interjected. When Trump would interrupt Biden, he would shut him down. And when Biden would interrupt Trump, he would just let him go. And for all of the New York Times and the CNN and the NPR praise that they're giving, they're lavishing on Biden and what a great performance and how he probably won. CBS had a snap poll last night. I don't know how they do these. 15 minutes after it's done and you've got a sample of 3,000 people that have said by 48-41, Biden won. I don't know how those things work. I noticed Drudge didn't do a poll last night. So some of the instant reaction that I normally check in on, it was a little bit askew. But I think that one of the things that people, at least that I heard on social media and coming away, was that it seemed like Wallace had a bias and he's not really known for being that way. In fact, one of the most, I think, effective things he does is when somebody says something that's blatantly not true, he'll say, well, with all due respect, sir, and then he'll insert, you know, fill in the blank, whatever it is. And there were a few times he should have done that last night. The Green New Deal was one. Biden saying Antifa is an idea, not an organization. Of course, Twitter is flooded with pictures of Antifa marchers abusing elderly citizens today that you can go and see. And I think that a lot of this is overshown by the Orange Man bad. He wouldn't let, you know, Joe talk. He's so mean. Like, yep. There's all this stuff. And I don't know how that plays long term. I do know how it played with the Telemundo audience, again, which is not a conservative audience. It was.
Antifa is only an idea. It's not really an organization, according to Biden.
Yeah. I mean, go look at Twitter and see how many organizations regionally they have. You've got Twitty Philadelphia. You've got Antifa Detroit. You've got Antifa DC. You've got Antifa New York.
I mean, that's Antifa ideas in DC. Ideas in
sure,
Philly.
Sure, I guess. And ideas are abusing elderly people as they're trying to cross the crosswalk in the streets.
What an idea. Oh, gosh. Anyways, so go on. This is all very fascinating.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you're going to have to give me some specifics that you want me to react to because there's just so much that was in there.
Well, can I say this? And I want to see what you think of this, because I wrote down a ton of notes while I was watching. Biden seemed to do what they usually do at a debate. They're asked a question, and instead of answering the question, they look into the camera. This is what Joe did, and they give their prepared speech. And that's what he did. He had his lines down and he did it right to the folks. And he also tried to be folksy. He said, how many people sitting at home right now, there's an empty place at the table because somebody in your family died of COVID or you know of somebody. And he was basically saying, you know, and Trump killed them, of course. But
right.
But he was making it personal and he was looking right at you at home. And I thought that's pretty effective. I got to say, that's pretty effective.
Candace Owens was irritated by it. She said, if he does this Hollywood pre-canned look into the camera one more time, I'm going to throw something at my TV or something along those lines on Twitter this morning. I don't know. See, I think that it's one thing to when you do that effectively, it's another thing to feel like that it was a purposeful strategy and it didn't feel genuine to me when he would do it. It felt like it kind of felt like somebody would say in his ear, look at the camera now. And he'd, I don't want to say to you at home. And, you know, and there was, we don't know, maybe he had something in his ear. They had agreed to be tested. And then they, suddenly and abruptly said they wouldn't allow anybody to inspect the ears after that. But it was something that a lot of people noticed. And I don't know. The thing that you can't really judge about Trump, and in 16, I was new to Trump because I had supported Cruz in the primary.
Yeah.
I think that his natural demeanor is kind of that brusque, I'm too busy to be doing this businessman. And yeah. I thought he was very much himself last night. And if you're a fan of Trump and if you think that what he's doing, regardless of personality, is important, you didn't see anything in his stuff last night that made you suddenly sour on him. The people that may sour on him some are maybe people that were never going to vote for him to begin with. I'm not quite sure, but I think the hardcore people are going to crawl over cut glass to vote for him. I think they're even more motivated this morning to go do it than they were last night.
We're gonna go to another break, and when we come back, the first question I want to ask you, Kevin McCullough from Salem Network, Nostradamus, is this. Do you think any people who were on the fence last night, do you think any of their minds might have been changed? We'll be right back to the Eric Metaxas Show.
Over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. There was a band of angels coming after me, coming for to carry me home.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the Eric Metaxas Show without Eric Metaxas. He's flying home from Greece right now. This is Albin Sader. I'm one of the producers of the show, and I'm here with Chris Himes, the other producer of the show. Wow, two producers on one show. That's great. What a great guy Eric is. He's got two. We've got Kevin McCullough, and he's talking about last night's debate.
You know what that might say about Eric? Is that he's just so much trouble, he needs two people to keep him in line.
Needs one under each arm. We're both Aarons holding up Moses' arms there. And
oh, please, come on, let's stop with that.
Oh, come on.
He's not going to fit back in the studio. The head will be, you know, so big.
Yeah, of course. He's a bigger man. He's coming back a bigger man. He's got two seats on the plane coming back.
He's coming back from Greece, right? So he's going to be
out. He is. Oh, my goodness. He's doing a great documentary. He's going to talk all about
that's
tomorrow.
Right. I can't wait to see that, actually.
Oh, It's
Kevin, I will say that's the beauty of this situation right now with him on a plane. There's literally nothing he can do about what we could say about him.
That's right. But it's Morgan Freeman's production company, so it's a huge deal. It's very big, and he's going
to
talk
a
little
bit
about
it. Now, if he gets Morgan to narrate it, that'll even be, you know, voice of God.
I think Morgan will at least bookend the series. But, we closed out last segment. I had a great question for you, and I'm waiting to hear your answer on this. Do you, Kevin McCullough, vote Stradamus, do you believe any minds were changed that were on the fence last night about either candidate?
Well, here's the kind of weird thing about this election, and I truly see it more in this election cycle than I've seen it ever. I don't know any personally undecided people. And I know that, I forget who said it. I think it was maybe Brett Baer a couple of nights ago on Fox News, but they said that there's some statistic that shows that maybe up to 29% of voters had not decided going into last night's debate. That would be enormously different than anything that I can relate to. Cause I guarantee you, if I go outside my studio and poll 10 people walking down the sidewalk right now, all 10 of them will have an opinion of Joe Biden and Donald Trump. These are the two most well-known candidates for the prospective office that have ever run for the office. Joe Biden's been in Washington, D.C. and in significant positions for nearly a half century. We're not dealing with, you know, someone that no one knows. We're not dealing with this idea that, you know, maybe they're going to say something we weren't expecting. Again, the expectation for Joe was set so low last night, and Trump partially set it that low, that if he just simply stayed upright for the 2 hours, he was going to have a chance to win the debate. I don't know how all of that affects the remaining tiny little portion, be it 6%, 2%, 10%, whatever that section is. I think geographically, it's you're probably more dominant geographically than you are any other way. So if you're typical red state people and red state values are something you're concerned about, if your kids aren't in school, they're in some sort of lockdown right now. If you're in a state that's not open, they brought up Pennsylvania last night. Think about this. Pennsylvania is commonly described as Philadelphia and Pittsburgh with Alabama and Mississippi in between. That's kind of a good understanding of the geographical nature of that state. Well, Alabama and Mississippi probably liked Trump a lot last night. There's probably suburbs around Pittsburgh and Philadelphia that liked his message on taxes, his very pro law enforcement position on the riots and the damages done there and so forth. Yes, you had progressives and liberals that are probably in Pittsburgh and Philly that didn't care for, you know, they're going to be in Joe Biden's camp. But I think it depends on who you are and where you're from and what you're looking for. And I will say this, I don't think that the Democrat candidate by saying, but well, by refusing to say law enforcement, you know, et cetera, saying when he asked, do you believe in law and order? I believe in law with a little bit of order. These types of moments were just not effective in terms of reaching that suburban mom that's going to be concerned about the safety and welfare of her kids and trying to get them back into a normal life. The lockdowns have really had, I think, a detrimental effect to moms in particular that has not shown up yet in some of those polling.
Yeah, that's a good point. Hey, Chris, what do you have for votes?
Well, yeah, I'm just wondering. I did think that Trump probably could have done a better job sort of highlighting some of the things he's done, particularly with kind of the criminal reform things in contrast to what Joe has done historically as somebody who's, you know, personally responsible for a lot of, people locked up presently in different urban communities. And Trump, you know, the woman, is it Johnson? I forget her first name, was there in attendance last night as a woman that he got her out of prison.
I know who you're talking about. I've forgotten her name. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So she was in the audience last night. It would have been great for him to highlight, you know, the fact that she was there in contrast to Trump, in contrast to Biden's record on, you know, putting a lot of people in prison over his career.
Yeah. No, the interesting thing about my conservative friends that I spoke with last night and this morning is that they feel like that on the race issue, Trump had a much bigger hand to play, and he just, you know, he just sailed right past it and either forgot or just didn't strategically use it for his moment. But I still don't think that just that one performance determines African-American turnout for him, by the way, which I think is going to be very high. I think he's going to eclipse anything Republicans have seen in the recent era. He may be Candace Owens, the founder of the Blexit movement, says she believes that he's going to have 20-25% African-American support. I would put it somewhere, you know, 18-23, but we're basically saying the same thing. He's just got to beat 11 to beat the all-time current high, which was George W. Bush in his reelection. Does he get to 12 in his sleep already? So I think that we're looking at a very different demographic for the Republicans. And if the Telemundo poll turns out to be indicative of something, that's going to be even more so true in the Latino community.
What do you think is going to happen in the next debate as votes Stradamus? What do you think?
Well, up next is VP Pence with somebody that once ran for president and, as Trump says, went from 13% in the polls down to 1% and then dropped out before Iowa. I don't know. That's going to be a fun thing to watch. We'll have to take it when it comes along.
Yeah. Yep. And that's 1 week from tonight, folks. It'll probably be a little more civilized. I think that's a guarantee. Hey, folks, we're going to be right back with Vote Stradamus. That's Kevin McCullough. Right after this.
I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in a boat?
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Eric Metaxas Show without Eric, but that's okay because you've got me, Albin Sadar, and you've got that guy over there, Chris Himes. Chris,
hello.
And I are both, he's over there somewhere. Oh, there's his picture. We're the producers of the show, so if you like the show, besides liking Eric, maybe you like us guys too.
Yeah, Kevin Albin, I'm getting nostalgic, Albin. I remember the last time you and I did the show. It was years ago. I likened it to Dad left his keys to the car and we took it out for a joyride. That's what this feels like.
That's right. It was a Fun Facts Friday Rogue edition because Eric was actually stuck on the subway or something. He couldn't get there in time. And of course, John Smirak had a beagle emergency today. So that's why John Smirak's not here. But Kevin McCullough is. Kevin actually had to go and run and do another bit real quick for his own show. Then he's going to be coming back in hour two. So stay tuned for more of Kevin McCullough. And Chris Himes, I just want to ask you real quick, kind of what do you think so far of Kevin and his analysis of last night?
Well, I think Kevin's pretty right on. He's very gifted with political analysis, so it was great that he could fill in. I'm just thinking ahead to the VP debate with Kamala Harris and Mike Pence. Like, what, you know, I just think we've been surprised every step of the way since 2016. And what if Pence goes completely rogue, off the rails, and, you know, tears his shirt off WWE style, you know, Ultimate Warrior, who knows, you know, and just
he's been known
he makes
to do
Trump
that.
Look civil. Maybe that's the play. It's like, Pence, we need you to take one for the team. If you could go off the rails entirely, then, you know, maybe that would balance it out.
There's some logic to that, because if Pence goes crazy, then people right. say, look, Trump is normal compared
exactly.
to that guy.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I have a feeling that's not going to happen. Pence seems like probably the most measured politician in D.C. At the moment.
Well, that always got me when people hated Trump. And then you'd say, well, what about Mike Pence? They would say, like, oh, I hate him, too. Oh, he's too far. He's too nice. And Trump is too mean. And we need somebody that's right in between, like a Neville Chamberlain or something.
Yeah, I did feel last night it was a little bit like, you know, and I felt that in the 2016 debates with Hillary. It's sort of like, you know, as a country, you have these two sides. So it's sort of like mom and dad are fighting. And now, of course, 2020, we have two dads fighting. So that's not, you know,
that's
par for the course at this point. So I felt like it was two dads fighting.
My sister has two mommies or something. My country has two daddies. I don't know. And they're both fighting or something.
Yeah. But I'll be interested to see what happens. I think there could be some interesting developments after the VP debate, just in terms of tone and information even.
Yeah. I'll tell you something. If I gave Trump advice for the next debate, I would say just go out there and remember that you are the president of the United States, not Joe, not the Democratic Party. You are the president, and go out there as if it's your own campaign. And these are people that actually like you. And so what if somebody disagrees with you? If they're a fly, just swat them away. Tell them what you've done for this country, because you've done some amazing things. What, like 127 promises that you've kept? Just talk about what you've done. How much better the country is and how much better it will be. That's what you do. Just relax, have a great time, love, joy, peace, patience, you know, the fruit of the spirit. If you can have some of that, just one or two of those things, you're going to do great.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. I think if this were the, you know, like the Cyrano de Bergerac story or Roxanne, that whoever's whispering in Biden's ear for the second debate, maybe it'll go haywire.
Yeah,
we can only hope.
Yeah, now, folks, don't forget ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom. Please go there today and make a donation. Alliance Defending Freedom, there's a website, the metaxastalk.com website. Right there at the top of the page, there's a banner. Click on it, donate. You'll be glad you did. We'll be right back for hour two of the Eric Metaxas Show.